Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, the founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to the Gurick Report Podcast with Steve Gurick and Frank Mee.
It is Wednesday, January the 21st, 2015. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. Today we have a very special guest, which we'll get to momentarily. But let's say what's up to Frank D.
Hey, what's going on, everybody out there? And you can check out our official YouTube page at youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Interview is up there right now with Vince Russo, Teddy Long, Ron Simmons, soon to be added Eric Bischoff. So check us out right now. Like and subscribe, youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. But as Steve mentioned, we have a very, very special guest today.
Yes, we have a former WWF Intercontinental Champion, a six-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Of course, he had the WCW Championship. He's the King of the Mountain, co-founder of TNA, TNA Wrestling, and also, nowadays, is the founder of Global Force Wrestling. Today, we welcome a very special guest, Jeff Jarrett. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. I appreciate it. Did you just spell your name out? G-E-R-W-E-C-K? I like it. You got a little ring. I've been known to spell my name out from time to time, but I like how you spelled it out.
Yeah, I remember. I was on set. I remember that back in the day, yeah.
There you go. No, guys, seriously, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate your time. And ready to talk Global Force and professional wrestling.
All right, Global Force Wrestling, the founder of Global Force Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett. So I guess the first question up front is, you've launched the company and you had your first pay-per-view. How's everything going, and how do you think the product's been received thus far?
Well, you know what? Things are going great. It is a step-by-step, methodical process, something that I've said it on multiple interviews in the last 30 days. Patience is really not in my DNA too much, but I've learned to have it in my days. To take it step by step. I really think we are beginning to define exactly who, what, when, where, what we're about. We just launched the name of the company last April 7th, the day after Mania. And Global Force Wrestling was, what's that all about? What's going to happen? We began to roll out our partnerships with AAA and New Japan and independent promotions to Europe and Australia and South Africa, and just on a step-by-step process. And then, our first event that we got to executive produce, I don't think we could have started with a bigger and better show. It's just going to be one component, us bringing international promotions to the North American market. But it was certainly a great first step with Jim Ross on board at the Tokyo Dome. Going into that event, you always have high expectations, but will the show deliver? Will it be that can't miss event that we're hoping and stating that there's a real chance of that? And I certainly think, you guys have been around this business many, many years as well, and the wrestling fan will tell you what they like, but more importantly, they'll tell you what they don't like. And with social media and just all the different platforms for the fans to talk and react, just the overwhelmingly positive response of Wrestle Kingdom 9, of Jim Ross, of the presentation, 4 hours, 10-match card, and the show really built in those last three matches. The back-to-back-to-back matches, I think, are maybe the best three matches that I've ever witnessed live. And in that dome that night, it was just a real electric, mesmerizing effect. So we're very excited and looking forward on many levels to 2015. But I think January 4th got us off to a great start for the year.
Now, obviously, that was January 4th. Have you gotten any preliminary reading on how the pay-per-view did from a buy standpoint?
We have not. And as a businessman, when you sit back and look, you know, I want numbers immediately. But you know, the pay-per-view world is obviously the UFC was the big fish in town that weekend. They're, you know, obviously such an established brand and had a mega, mega fight and, you know, a six-month build, so to speak. And that fight was on again, off again, and how it came out. And that's the biggest weekend, you know, I believe New Year's, you know, the New Year's weekend, or however you want to say that for you, the New Year's weekend event has really traditionally become their marquee event. It is their WrestleMania, so to speak. So they got off on to a great start. So, no, we haven't, we've not received any numbers. We're very optimistic. You know, we've gotten numbers from the piracy sites, and they're through the roof, but that doesn't do us any good. But you know, the feedback, and we're very optimistic.
Now, the common question I get when I talk to people about Global Force Wrestling is, exactly what is it? What is the concept? And then will there eventually be television to promote the product?
Well, the concept is it's not any revolutionary concept or idea or changing the world or any of that nonsense. But, you know, yes, we're going to be a fully functioning wrestling promotion with our distribution outlets, with our talent, with our roster, with the touring events, with sponsorships, everything, licensing programming, all those things that you know, you put together as a promotion. But we're also, you know, I really wanted to make it, you know, how are we going to be different and unique and cut our share of the marketplace out? And in 2015, I think the wrestling business is very healthy with Lucha Underground, with New Japan World, with you know, all the different promotions that are thriving. I wanted to be a part of, and, you know, my family's been in this business for over 70 years. My grandmother got the business back in the 40s. And so, you know, I have grown up in this business, and certainly over the last 28 years of my active career, been around a lot of promotions, WWF, WCW, Puerto Rico, Japan, Mexico, just all the different things. And I know that, you know, wrestling fan bases like to connect. They like to talk about what's going on in other federations. And that's always been the case, back to the magazine days or the tape trading days. And then, you know, with the internet coming on, but, you know, nowadays, you know, my kids can go on and watch a match from AAA, and then they watch a match from New Japan, and then watch an independent show from Germany, all in 15 minutes. So I wanted to be a part of connecting the fan bases. And so that's going to be a big part of Global Force Wrestling. Obviously, New Japan was our first event of bringing an international brand to the North American marketplace, and we're going to continue to do that in 2015.
So in 2015, will we be seeing GFW bring the possible Triple Mania to the United States as far as a pay-per-view?
We are in discussions with several, and, you know, and it's been pretty obvious, and you guys that I've done interviews with have been very – I love the passion and I love the questions, but you guys have been very respectful. And the real blunt fact is, when it's time to release information, I certainly will, you know, do like I've done in the past. I'll let everybody know as much as I possibly can when I want to release the information, or when the team at Global Force thinks the time's right to let it out. And then we'll talk and make everyone available and accessible to talk about the event, just like we did with New Japan. So, things like that, like a Triple Mania, like other events with other promotions, are in the works, but the time's not right to release all the information.
Can you talk a little about the struggles of first getting on pay-per-view, and then, you know, we've seen WWE go to WWE Network now, where most of their shows are available for $9.99 per month. I believe WrestleMania is going to be offered for $9.99 for the month. We've seen more and more wrestling companies go towards pay-per-view, yet it seems like there's kind of a saturated market. We've seen TNA actually eliminate some pay-per-views based on, I'm sure, the numbers they're receiving for their shows. But the struggles now of entering a very saturated market for pay-per-views and really clicking with the fans through this forum.
It literally is no different than day one in this professional wrestling industry. It's supply and demand. You have to create a demand for your event that no different than boxing, no different than UFC or Bellator or professional wrestling. You have to create the demand for your product, and that's easier said than done. But, you know, If you ask Floyd Mayweather if the pay-per-view industry is dying, he would laugh at you all the way to the bank. But I completely understand the flip side, what you're referencing in, that there's a lot of independent promotions and doing iPay-per-views and WWE taking their stuff online. That's, I think that's also a product of the technology environment, in that the mega events, I believe, will always have a place in the world of pay-per-view, so to speak, maybe in different forms than they are now. But like the Flips app, we've gotten some very positive results that we're not ready to release, but that's a brand new technology, and that New Japan event was literally available, if you had a smartphone and a smart television, around the globe. And so, again, the world is becoming smaller, you know, and so just the different methods that pay-per-view is distributed, I think, is going to change. But also it goes back to what I originally said, supply and demand, that you have to create a real demand for your product that people will spend their hard. It's not just an old saying, but it's true. You've got to entice your viewer to become a consumer, and the consumer spends their hard-earned money on a product, and you better deliver, or repeat business is non-existent. The fundamentals of promoting will never change.
I saw a video with you, Mr. Jared, last year, I believe it was, and you mentioned that you felt that the wrestling business was on the verge of another wrestling boom. Do you feel that that's happening yet? Because as a fan, personally, I have not seen a boom in wrestling yet.
What is a boom? Are we going to see a Monday Night War, which most people connotate a wrestling boom to a Monday Night Wars era? Yes. Most fans, if they're anywhere between, let's just say, if you're 25 years old today, that means you were about 10 years old at the end of the boom. So you can vaguely remember. But from a 25-year-old wrestling fan and up, the real boom periods in their lives are the 80s when Hulkamania just exploded, and then the Monday Night Wars. So, and those were entirely two different booms. WrestleMania exploded, and Vince McMahon was running sometimes four towns a night on a weekend. There was a lot of wrestling, and at the same time, there was still Turner or Crockett. There were still the territories around them. So there was a boom period of live wrestling all across the country, everywhere. Just massive amounts of gate, box office revenues, merchandise revenues. The next boom was the Attitude Era, and that's when you had, however many people you want to say, 8, 10, 12 people, 10, 12 million people watching every Monday night and sold out arenas. The house show business had a short run, to my knowledge. The WCW was very good, but it was a TV boom period. Merchandise, Stone Cold and The Rock and New Age Outlaws and DX. That was a boom period in merchandise sales that have just through the roof. So it really depends on what you define as a boom. What I define as a boom is many, many promotions thriving. The free agent market is very healthy. WWE has taken a product that's on Mondays and Thursdays now, and now they have NXT. They have an online network where you have access to thousands and thousands of hours. You have AAA with El Rey entering the North American market. You have Axis with New Japan entering the North American market. Global Force is going to be entering the North American market. We already have with our one show of bringing New Japan on pay-per-view. Others that we've already discussed. Ring of Honor, they continue to grow and get station clearances, and they're growing. They're in the pay-per-view market as well. Independent wrestling in South Africa and all through Europe is in much better shape than it was 3 or 5 years ago. So I believe if you look around, you can see positive, real results and proof that the boom is beginning. Is it as big as it's going to be? I don't think it's anywhere close. Just because it's going to take time. But I believe the indicators are there.
Fair enough.
Do you still have an ownership stake in TNA?
Yes.
Okay. Some people would say that's kind of a conflict of interest for you to still have a share of TNA, and yet you're starting a new company. How do you respond to that?
Not very. I would say this in with all diplomacy possible. That means you hadn't been around many businesses in your life because there are multiple people who start businesses, leave, and go start another business. Sometimes they have non-competes. They have sometimes they have a certain period of time, but it happens all the time in business. I mean, over and over and over. So for me to have ownership in one wrestling company and to be starting another, there's, in my opinion, zero conflict of interest. I want the wrestling business to be healthy. I have a real stake in wanting the business to thrive on multiple levels. So I couldn't have been happier when I heard that TNA got their new deal, as well as when I heard New Japan got their deal with Access TV. And I could go on and on about that. I think it's very narrow-minded to say that's a conflict of interest.
Fair enough. And do you have much interaction now with TNA? Obviously, you left the company. Do you still talk to Dixie on a regular basis?
Zero contact. Zero.
Okay. Can you talk about the decision to leave TNA, the company that you and your father started, and to launch another company, to go in a new direction?
To me, it was real simple, and there's no secret of there's been stuff reported true, not true, and no need to really go into any of those details. But I knew at the end of 2013, it was time to close that chapter in my life and continue on with my life. And, you know, I certainly wasn't getting out of the wrestling business. It's what I've done my entire career. You know, I earned a paycheck out of this business when I was 13 years, 14 years old, setting up rings and selling Cokes and popcorn and cleaning up chairs and all that kind of stuff. So it was time for me to move on. And I couldn't be more excited and more passionate about professional wrestling than I have in my entire life.
You know, some had speculated, too, that as long as TNA Wrestling would be on Spike Television, you wouldn't have a home there as for Global Force Wrestling. Now, obviously, TNA is going to Destination America. Could Spike TV be a potential home for Global Force Wrestling in the future?
Other than the, current networks that are airing wrestling, being, I'll call it the NBC Universal Group, and now the Destination America group, all the above are options.
Is the Global Force Wrestling going to be, you know, you mentioned earlier about all your affiliates with different companies around the world. Is it going to be just, you know, one promotion, or is this going to be a promotion that, you know, produces pay-per-views and shows for other companies? Say you get a spot on Spike TV, just use them, and you have a relationship with AAA, and AAA has a show. Is it going to be Global Force Wrestling presents AAA on Spike?
Those details will be released, like I said, when the time's right. The short answer to your question would be both. Again, we have a real vision to connect fan bases, whether it's New Japan fans, or whether it's AAA fans, whether it's WXW fans from Germany, connect the fan bases bring them together, just like the social media revolution. You can like or tweet or dislike or comment, but I think that's very healthy for the industry.
Okay. And do you ever see yourself ever being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, or do you not even think about that?
I don't think about that. Obviously, I have zero control over any of those type decisions, and I find it a complete waste of time to even think about it. I did an interview earlier this morning, and a guy sort of went on and on about, you should be in there. And I'm like, dude, give it a rest. It's irrelevant what you think or I think. It's only relevant what man thinks, and that it's his decision alone.
Right.
Very true. Yep. I always say that too when we talk about the WWE Hall of Fame. It comes down to one man's decision. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, unfortunately. So, but you know, as far as the TNA Hall of Fame, a lot of people have said, how can Jeff Jarrett or Jerry Jarrett not be a part of the TNA Hall of Fame? Is that something you ever really think about?
No.
You should be honored for. I mean, you and your dad started the company. How can you not be one of the members of the Hall of Fame?
That's not my decision. That's one person's decision. It's not my decision, and that's, you know, and again, this is a business. It's a business, and it is bottom line results oriented. And so, what's best for business? You know, I've heard Vince McMahon, and I couldn't respect the guy more because his track record speaks for itself. But if it's good for the WWE, then it's good for the WWE, and that's what he makes his decisions based on.
Okay, and I guess one of the rumors out here that, you know, you could probably put to rest for us right now, do you have any kind of heat with Vince McMahon?
To my knowledge, zero. I know that we've had, you know, I don't want to say we talk much by any stretch of the imagination, but over the last however many years, when was it, 2000, no, I left there in 99, so it was, you know, so what, 15, 16 years? Over the years, we've had several conversations, but it's, you know, I'm a third generation. I believe he's a fourth generation. Our families have made a living out of the professional wrestling industry our entire lives. So we're lifers, so to speak. So there's a mutual camaraderie, respect, just like I had with Owen Hart. You know, his father was a promoter, and so it's a little bit of a different mindset. So, you know, to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
I know there's been much written about it, much talked about, much embellished. At the end of the day, my last night working for the WWE, if anybody thinks Vince McMahon didn't want to write that check, it's insanity. He wrote the check. He was very happy to do so. We shook hands and went our separate ways. The fact of the matter is, if Vince didn't want to write that check, he could have tied me up in court and shuffled paper for a couple of years, and I'd never seen a dime of that. That's the fact of the matter. People don't like to believe that. They like to believe the juicy, the sexy, the silly, the outlandish, the ridiculous, the storyline wrestling, all of that. At the end of the day, he didn't have to pay me. I didn't have to work. We both decided that I would work and he would pay me, and we both won. That's the art of a good deal, a win-win situation.
Okay. And I have a question here for you from one of our group members over at the Cult of Kayfabe group. One of the members wanted to know, will the GFW be broadcasted in Asian countries like India?
We are just like our partnerships, we're in discussions on all continents about distribution models, and that is something that really excites me because technology is great. It on so many levels, but not just wrestling, all forms of entertainment. I mean, Sony just went through their situation, and they turned a real negative, a real potential, and I guess the email hacking and all that is still a real ugly situation. But, you know, the movie The Interview, it forced them to do business differently, and in the end, the consumer's going to win again, and they should. They're the ones, at the end of the day, that put the bill, just like the wrestling fan. The wrestling fan is the one who pays the bill. And so if you don't make them happy, at the end of the day, you're going to will away your fan base and you won't have revenue being generated. It's just that simple.
Okay. Are you going to be are you going to be wrestling in the GFW? Are you pretty much going to retire from in-ring competition to focus on the business?
Pretty much retire. I definitely want to focus on that. I enjoy that immensely. You know, I wrestled on the New Japan show. They asked. I think it was a very special occasion. So how can you turn down, especially in my stage of my career? I'm in my 28th year. I like to think I keep myself in good shape. Still enjoy it. But I enjoy as much or more of wrestling on that event than being a part of watching and listening Jim Ross and Matt Stryker call those last three matches, you know, be a part of bringing the Flips app technology to the world of professional wrestling and making that truly a global event, talking to different promoters and wrestling fans and podcasts around the world in the weeks leading up to the event, talking about it, getting emails from guys in Australia and Germany and France. Hey, I watched the show. Wow, it was great. Hey, let me tell you, at the 52-minute mark, Flips, my screen froze for 2.5 minutes, and then it picked right up. Just the little things like that. And when I talked to the Flips app, said they've had less than a 1%, which, if you really know refunds and that type of stuff, business, less than 1% is almost that's unbelievable. So, you know, the technology was a smashing success, although there were definitely hiccups and they were reported, but you know, you're going to have that since the, you know, closed circuit television or pay-per-view, and then when it went, you know, digital, you're always going to have technological issues. Nothing's perfect, and it never will be. It's technology, but it's far, far advanced.
I know this is probably hard because you were with TNA from day one, but do you have a highlight or a favorite moment when you think back at your TNA experience that really stands out?
The early years were great. So much passion and the rabid fan base, and you could just feel the vibe growing week after week after week after week. And, you know, going from the two-hour pay-per-views and then Fox Sports and then getting on Spike Network, that was just huge. And just, you know, that really wasn't a quote-unquote wrestling moment. That was maybe a business moment. That was really, really a cool time. The X Division was exploding. You know, Samoa Joe, AJ, Daniels, and America's Most Wanted, and just some of those matches were off the charts. Those were a special time. As far as in-ring, I've got a few. I'll say at the stage of my career, when I had my series of matches against Kurt Angle, I put them right up there with the best matches I've ever had. That's a lot attributed to Kurt. It was, you know, those probably business and wrestling are probably right up there at the top.
I wonder, too, with your schedule, do you get a chance to watch WWE and TNA and just overall your thoughts on the current wrestling products from North America?
I was a wrestling fan before I got into the business, even though my family's been in it three generations. Yes, I watch it all. I watch everything I can get my hands on. Mauro Ranallo with Axis is he's fantastic. He's very, very, very good. So, yes, I watch it all, good, bad, or indifferent. And it's, you know, that's the wrestling business. That's how I think you just said since 1997 or 99, the Gerwig Report and the podcast and all that, that means you follow a lot of wrestling. So we both know not every show is going to be a grand slam. It's an impossibility, but everything's relative. So, answer your question, I watch it all.
And do you just have like an overall opinion of where the products, maybe more with TNA, now that they're on Destination America, the product, how it's going to click with the new fan base? Obviously, they're changing networks. Just kind of where they are currently as they move forward.
They've got their work cut out. They're trying new things. Kudos to them. You know, they'll find their niche and their groove, and that's like, you know, this is a reboot for those guys, and good luck to those guys. They need to do well in the ratings. They need to do well in their exposure domestically and internationally. And so, and again, they're employing several wrestlers, you know, many wrestlers. So it's good. So, you know, that's the short answer. They're trying new things, and I think you must do that at this stage of the game.
When Global Force Wrestling does launch, you guys have a TV deal and your promotion starts up and your show and all that, will we be seeing you once again work with Vince Russo?
No.
Okay.
No, and I know Vince is doing things, and I'm happy for him and very excited that he's trying new things. I heard he traveled overseas. I know that he's been one guy that doesn't like to fly a lot. And so, again, he's trying new things and happy for him. And, you know, Vince, no need to go in his to career because he's been in the business for, 24, 3, 5, something like that years. And I'm happy for him that he's staying actively engaged in the wrestling business.
Do you feel, though, and, you know, you can answer this if you want, do you feel, though, that one of the reasons why TNA, from a creative standpoint, had a lot of issues connecting with the audience was due to his style of writing?
There's no need. There's no fruit to bear out of answering that question, because if you want to put all the blame on him, that's an insanity. You want to put all the blame on, you know, different time periods, whether it's Dutch Mantel, Jeff Jarrett, whoever you want to say. It is a complicated matter, and TNA, it was very complicated at times. So, you know, for anybody to point one finger at Vince, that's doing Vince a disservice.
Right. I agree with that. What title have you held in your career that you would say was your greatest achievement in your career, and why?
Oh, wow. You'd have probably, everybody who gets in this business wants to become a world heavyweight champion. And when I won my first world title at WCW, that has to rank up there at the top. You know, the first major national title that I won was beating Razor Ramon for Intercontinental title. That has to rank up there as well. You know, those are probably the top two. But, you know, that's really for the fans to decide or for your box office that's really what, you know, ratings or box office or pay-per-view guys, those are the better barometers.
I asked you about TNA, your favorite moment, experience. What about with your run? You had a couple of runs with WWE, WWF. Do you have a favorite WWF moment?
I mean, the series of matches that I had with Shawn Michaels obviously ranked right up there at the very top. And then Road Dogg entered the picture, and it was, you know, me and Shawn and with Road Dogg against Diesel and Razor Ramon, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. We had some tag matches, you know, in 95, around that time, that were a couple main events at the Garden that were really, really 45 minutes of off the charts action. And Shawn is so athletic, so good. You know, was he at the prime of his career? That's debatable, but he was certainly really, really close to it. You know, he'd come off that WrestleMania 10 ladder match. He's just, he's an unbelievably, incredibly gifted athlete. You know, Kurt, him, their athletic ability is just a step up from everybody else athletically.
I believe you said you've been in the business 28 years. Do you have any regrets? Anything you'd wish you could do over one more time?
No, I don't. I'm the type of person that's positive. I look forward. As I've said this statement, my grandmother said, there's a reason why the windshield is much bigger than the rearview mirror. You need to look at life going forward. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from situations on how you do things different. But regrets, that's, to me, ridiculous, because why regret something when it's impossible to change? If you cannot go back in time. Just learn from your mistakes. Get up, move on, and try to learn from your past and better yourself, even if it's just 1% every day. You'll be a different person this time next year, and then the next year, and then the next year. And so that's how I sort of view life.
You know, you've been in this business 28 years. I can't imagine the wrestling business without Jeff Jarrett or Jerry Jarrett or the Jarretts. But, you know, one day you will be out of the wrestling business one way or another. When they write the book on Jeff Jarrett, what do you feel your legacy is when you leave the business? What do you leave as your legacy?
I'll leave that up to you guys. You know, all I can hope is that I was a positive impact, you know, on individuals, help make them better people. That's what, you know, I want to surround myself with smarter people than me. They're going to make me better. I you know, just to be a part, a positive impact on the professional wrestling industry is maybe the top line. That's what I want to be remembered, that I was a positive impact on this business.
And recently you joined the Bullet Club in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I noticed that over the last few months that group has really grown with members. Do you think that group is getting a little too big, like the NWO, as far as the amount of people in it?
I don't, and I can certainly, again, and frankly, if I didn't know better, I bet you were a huge Attitude Era fan. And the NWO as well, because the NWO obviously over the years got watered down and
right.
different creative mindsets and different creative groups, and you know it was a vision that obviously exploded, and then it had a couple of different visionaries running that vision that obviously they weren't on the same page. The Bullet Club, and I really did my homework on just how it originated and where it came from. And you know, when Fergal left, they had a huge hole, and AJ, you know, coming from the place where he was in his home and his comfort zone, and him stepping out on a new stage, and he stepped into New Japan and stepped into that role, it just took the Bullet Club to another level. And then, you know, I was honored that they came to me, and I'm like the corporate side of it. And then Kenny Omega's their junior heavyweight. They got the Young Bucks. They've really got it's really defined. Now they've got a young boy. So, you know, they got a corporate side and myself. They've got AJ in the heavyweight. They've got Doc Gunn and Gallows as the heavyweight tags, the Young Bucks. It's really – and then Takahashi is that wild card, the only Japanese member. So I think it's a very defined group that it goes without saying, ultra, ultra successful. For us to have that big a presence, you know, on Wrestle Kingdom 9 really spoke volumes.
Absolutely, and I guess my final question for you is going to be, back in 1986, of course, you came over to WCW. I was watching one of the Nitros the other night on the network, the night you debuted. Is there any particular reason why you weren't put in the NWO?
You'd have to ask the powers that be, but, you know, I think one of the, I guess you could say a very simple answer was I was Double J at WWF, obviously. And so fitting into that role, I dovetailed right into a Four Horsemen situation, probably much easier than an NWO. And I can see that, very simple. You know, Kevin Sullivan and the powers that be there saw that vision and saw that role, and that's the direction it took.
And as we wrap with you, Jeff, and we definitely do appreciate your time, and we wish you nothing but, you know, success with Global Force Wrestling, go ahead and plug your website, your social media, and how fans can interact with you.
Go, Steve, that's your job to do that. No, I'm kidding. No, it's real simple. At Real Jeff Jarrett on Twitter, at Real Jeff Jarrett, and then GlobalForceWrestling.com. All of our social media tags are GFW Wrestling, at GFW Wrestling, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. But the real simple one is just go to GlobalForceWrestling.com. All the latest breaking news, all the recaps, the replay schedule for Wrestle Kingdom 9, which is still going on the entire month of January. If you haven't got a chance to see that and you're a wrestling fan, and I'm sure we have some longtime listeners, I can assure you, you will not regret it. It truly is a can't miss event. And the last three matches are some of the best back-to-back-to-back matches you will have ever witnessed. So, guys, I appreciate your time today, Frank, D, Steve. Let's not be. I will not be a stranger to this show. If it's up to you, and I'd love to come back on and continue to talk Global Force Wrestling in the days and weeks and months to come.
We definitely
appreciate
that. All right,
Jeff, thank you. Continue success.
All right, thanks, guys, and we'll talk soon.